You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
New research out of the University of Otago has created a groundbreaking new technique that allows for the extraction of DNA from ancient fossils and artifacts without damage. After lots of trial and error, Otago Master of Science student Lockie Scarsbrook and his supervisor, Dr. Nick Rawlins from the Otago Paleogenetics Lab, were able to find a technique that extracts data in a completely non-destructive way. To discuss what this discovery means for tracing New Zealand's ecological history, I spoke to Dr. Nick Rawlins. This is a very exciting development, but just broadly, what are researchers able to learn about species with ancient DNA?
So a lot of New Zealand's animals, Tauanga species, have been heavily impacted by humans. So looking at how they evolved prior to human arrival, we need ancient DNA. We need to be able to get that really good time series to look at how they responded to pre-human climate change or volcanic eruptions or New Zealand's dynamic geological history. We can't do that with modern DNA because the signatures of human impact massively override what we would call the true evolutionary history.
So most research has only focused on larger fossils like moa and sea lions. Why have smaller species been largely ignored, and how does this new technique resolve this?
So when we use ancient DNA, we need to chop out a chunk of bone or drill out bone, and so we're looking at about a centimetre size piece. Now big bones like moa can handle that without destroying the bone or the diagnostic characteristics of those bones, what we call bumps on bones that tell different species. If we tried to do that on little small bones like gecko, skink, tuatara or frog, we would destroy the bone and we would be left with a very unhappy museum curator. So what my fantastic master's student Lockie Scarsbrook did, who's now at the University of Oxford, developed as a technique that allows you to soak DNA out of these small bones in a completely non-destructive process. A CT scanner can't even tell the difference before and after. And so we can now get at this preserved genetic whakapapa to reconstruct the evolutionary history of some of our smallest animals that we haven't been able to look at before.
So you've used this technique on New Zealand geckos. What were you able to learn, and how is this different from your previous understanding?
So our knowledge of New Zealand geckos was previously all based on size. It was only thought you could distinguish geckos by size. And what Lockie showed is that size got thrown out with the bathwater. You can distinguish them by shape. So our knowledge of what was happening at the time of human arrival in geckos and probably skinks is now a paleontological clean slate. And so when we looked at one of the geckos, Duvicel's gecko, which is New Zealand's largest gecko, we were able to reconstruct its genetic whakapapa, where you've got really deep lineages in the North and South Island that diverged about 5 million years ago. And then you've got glacier-driven evolution in the South Island, so contraction into refugial utopia and expansion out and isolation on islands in Cook Strait when sea levels rose. And in the North Island, you've got these deep lineages hanging out in rugged and isolated areas like Northland and Waitomo. And you've also got this overriding signal, as we were talking about before, of human impact. When humans come along, you get lots of extinctions of lineages, you get genetic bottlenecks, you get loss of lots of morphological diversity as well.
What was the process like with you and Lockie to find a non-destructive technique that actually worked?
Lots of butting heads against brick walls and going back to the drawing board when we couldn't actually get results, but that's the process of science, and we persevere and we keep tinkering. And what we started doing is we started building upon previous work that scientists had done, including our colleagues at Te Papa Tongarewa, the National Museum, that we developed this non-destructive method and then other methods that allow us to sequence the complete genome or genetic whakapapa of these individuals. So bit by bit, we built upon previous work and tinkered and came up with this method. And when the results came through, we were quite astounded at what we were finding.
How will this research help the further reconstruction of Aotearoa's ecological history?
So this new method opens up huge swaths of museum collections to ancient DNA analysis that haven't been available before, purely because we couldn't sample them without destroying the very bones. So we can now go back and start reconstructing the genetic history of a really small taonga species, which actually have some of the most interesting stories to tell. Most people focus on the big things, and a lot of the small things have been neglected. So there's a lot more exciting research to come.
And this method, it will be used worldwide, won't it?
Yes, it will be used worldwide. So not just on small vertebrate bones, and there are lots of them in museum collections around the world, but also cultural artefacts like Taonga Tuturu. So you could use it on soaking DNA out of, say, Viking tombs made out of bone, or Maori fish hooks if you wanted to know how fish hook technology changed through time and what species were used to make these bone fish hooks and how that changed. You could now do that without destroying these artefacts.
That was Dr. Nick Rawlins, Director of the Otago Paleogenetics Lab at the University of Otago.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.